I just want to tell you guys, praise and worship this morning was awesome. Because, and that's exactly, because it fed exactly into what I want to talk to you guys about this morning. And yes, it is just a small little bit play on words. I'm going to talk to you about his presence or his presence. There's a difference. Sounds very much the same. And as we go through life and as we deal with the things we have to deal with, sometimes we get those two confused. We get the presence of God, being in his presence, confused with the presence of God, the gifts and the things that God gives us. Have you ever met someone that no matter what you do for them, they are never happy? Wow, that was a lot louder than I thought it was going to be. You know, they're waiting for everything in life to be perfect. And we all know that. How often does that happen? Never. There's never going to be a moment when everything is going to be perfect, when everything is going to be okay. We all have to deal with life. And God understands that. He knows that. He spent 33 years in human form down here with us, walking with us, talking with us, dealing with us, knowing and fellowshipping. And he understands, or he created us. He understands our humanity. There's not a problem that we can go to God with and he'll say, I don't know. This is a new one for me. I don't know how we're going to handle this. It's not going to happen. There's no problem that we're going to go to God for and that he's not going to know how to deal with. Sometimes these people are never, even if we try everything that we can do to make everything as perfect as possible, it's like, you know, it's a beautiful day outside. Yeah, but I heard it might rain tomorrow. Like, come on. No matter what you say, they're not happy. I call it the Eeyore syndrome. For those of us who are a little bit more aged, remember Winnie the Pooh and his little donkey friend? Oh, dear. Oh, bother. It's going to be a cloudy day. And some people just live life in that stage. And, you know, it's kind of my personal mission to try to interfere with that. I don't know. It's just something about the honoriness in me, I guess. One of the buildings that I work in, we have this secretary who's got this just kind of stonewall look on her face, and you walk in every day, and I'm like, good morning, how are you today? Good. And that about all I could get out of her was good. And I've been working in that building for a while, and now, as of this last week, I walked in and said, hey, how are you doing this morning? She said, I'm having a pretty good morning. How are you doing? I'm like, yes! I wore her down! Because there's something about when you come in with a positive attitude, when you come in understanding, it's not understanding that things aren't what they are, but realizing who God is in spite of those things. It allows that, and that joy that we have on the inside of us can be infectious to others. It's that light that he tells us, don't put it under a bushel. We're meant to be a lighthouse set upon a hill that others can see that help point them towards the way. But in staying with his presence or his presence, what we need to realize is that it all should be all about him, not about us. And it's hard because we deal with life. We have to deal with life. We have to deal with the struggles and the pains and the things that aren't going the way that they're supposed to go. And we have to deal with that, all that. And sometimes we just need God. And that's okay. I'm not saying that that's not okay. It's okay to be in that point, to be in that situation. But I wanted to share with you this morning that sometimes the best way to get the answers to those things are to spend time in his presence. C-E, not T-S. Because there's something about the presence of God that makes things just kind of melt away. The word says in Psalms chapter 22 that he inhabits or dwells in the praises of his people. Why do we praise? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love worship, but at the same time, our worship team isn't up here to give a concert every service. You can ask any one of them. They know they come together. They spend all the time that they do warming up and practicing to help create an atmosphere to make it easier for us to walk into that atmosphere of worship, because that's what it's about. But what happens when we come in and, you know, and I have no idea of music stuff, so bear with me here. What if Dwayne's playing in D and Dylan's playing in B, Gabe's playing Yankee Doodle Dandy? It's chaos. Even though it all has to come together, we all have to be on the same page. And that's why they spend hours practicing and hours focusing to keep things pulled together. You have to have a goal. You have to have something that keeps everybody focused. And sometimes in life, and what Satan does is he gets us so scatterbrained. Have you, maybe it's just, I know I have issues. I know I do. So it's no problem. Have you ever started to do something and then the whole time you're doing that, all you can constantly think about is all the other things that you have to do? It's like, it's so hard these days to focus on anything. Because as long as the enemy can keep our thoughts scattered, he can keep us from focusing. He can keep us from concentrating. He can keep us from pulling. Think about light. It's light in here. Light's pretty cool. But if you take light and pull all that light together and focus it together, you can cut steel with light because it's focused. And when we focus on God, when we focus on his presence, when we focus on who he is, when we decide, that's why I say on Sunday mornings, let's forget about all that other stuff. Let's just spend some time in his presence. Let's spend some time focusing on him. Because when we all come together and focus on him, it releases something. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. So even though we come in and I might be needing something and Wesley might be needing something and Mark might be needing something, even though we're all needing something different, but when we're all focusing on him, all of our needs get met. He'll show up and his presence will show up in this place. His presence will be here. I know a lot of people who have left this ministry because they said, oh, you're not spiritual enough. You guys are quenching the Holy Spirit because every service isn't just, you know, all about, and at that time it was all about, they were so into praise and worship. You stop praise and worship early. You're squelching the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go find someone where the Spirit can move freely. Bye. Because it's not about you. It's not about just randomly doing everything. There's a reason that we do what we do. And you can get to a point, and bear with me here for a second. You can get to a point to where you're so focused on worship, that you're so focused on being in that presence think about it. It's almost like an addiction to some people. Because what happens is when you get into the presence of God, it releases something in your body because it's supposed to. That's the way God designed us. And it releases something in our body that helps us feel better. It's those endorphins. And as we continue to focus, it pulls that attention off of us and it helps us feel better because we're focusing on something that's not us. And it almost becomes, to some people, it becomes addiction. They just want that feeling. They want that tingling. They want that whatever it is they get from being in the presence of God. And they get so focused on that, that they push aside getting any word. They push aside actually hearing something about Jesus or actually having a minister word that's meat that's going to sustain us and show us what our weapon is to get us through the storms and the battles of life. They get addicted. They start to worship. And it's a very dangerous place. Worship in and of itself is not bad. I mean, a lot of people take prescription medicines for good reasons. And what happens? They get addicted. And it's a bad thing. Anything good, that's what Satan does. He specializes in trying to turn good things into bad things. He takes the word of God, twists it, adds a little bit to it, and pushes it back at us to try to confuse us and misinterpret and misunderstand the word of God. And he uses it for his purpose. He uses it to create dividing lines between us. He uses it to try to separate us and try to create dissension among the church. But it's not intended to be that way. It's the faith of Jesus that sets us free. When we need that feeling of escape is not a wrong feeling. The world's a rough place sometimes. We all have to deal with junk and stuff out there. And sometimes we just need to be in the presence of God. There have been days that I've come in that I've dealt with stress all weekend. You know, I just want to, I can't wait for worship. I can't wait just to spend some time in worship, praising God, spending some time. Because there's something about when you really enter in, when you say, you know what, God, today it's not about me, it's about you. And I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a lead bag. I mean, but you will see me up here making a joyful noise. You'll see me up here usually getting a little excited about my praise because I realized several years ago that it's not about me. but I'm going to praise him. David, when David went through the city, when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back, David praised with everything that he had, everything that was inside of him. There was so much joy floating on the inside of him that he couldn't contain it. And he was praising so much that his wife was making fun of him, saying, you need to contain, you're the king. You need to contain yourself. He's like, how? How can I contain myself when the blessings of God have returned to the city? And when you see someone, I love to see people get excited. I love testimonies. I love to hear testimonies because there's something about watching somebody when they're giving a testimony, because you can see it in their face. You can see it in their countenance when they're giving a testimony. And when they get to that point where God turned things around, it creates that little bit of an excitement, because there is something about when God shows up on the scene and answers that. It gives hope to other people who are waiting for their answer. It gives hope to other people who are going through similar situations that they can see, yes, God did it for them. He can do it for me too. Maybe I just have to wait a little longer. And there's that hope in there. And that's what we do, is we continue to hope and we continue, but we realize that it's all through him. We were all sinners, but yet it's by his grace and his mercy that any of us have anything. But he is awesome. And it's something about when we have that faith. Everyone in the Bible, every time, there's so many times in the Bible it says their faith has made them whole. Their faith got them healed. You know, I love it. Unconventional as it may be, sometimes you just got to get to Jesus. Anybody ever been in that situation that you're just dealing with stuff and you just know you just need to get to Jesus, whether it's locking yourself in your prayer closet, driving somewhere and just cranking some praise and worship music up. You just need to be in the presence of Jesus. One of my favorite examples of that in the Bible was there was four friends who had a friend that was paralyzed, and they knew he needed to get to Jesus. They knew he needed to be. They heard Jesus was here. This is where they need to be. And then what happens when you show up and things don't work out according to plan? They showed up and there were so many people there. It was so packed. There was no possible way they were going to get their friend through the crowd of people, because it wasn't just like someone trying to, you know, work their way through the crowd. I mean, they're each holding the corner of a cot or a blanket and they're, you know, carrying this guy. It's like, it's kind of hard to get that through a crowd of people. But sometimes you have to do something a little bit different. Sometimes you have to go a little bit outside of the ordinary. So sometimes if you see someone praising a little louder than everyone else, sometimes if you see someone getting a little bit more excited in praise, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what God is releasing them from. But when they did all that they knew to do to get in the presence of God, because at that time it wasn't about his presence. Yes, they knew the presence, TS, were there, but they knew that that wasn't going to be nothing unless they got in the presence, CE. They had to get into the presence of God, the presence of Jesus. And what happened when they did all that they do? The Bible tells us that he saw their faith. He saw their faith. So don't tell me your prayers for your friends don't matter. It matters. You don't know what it, and I've made it a very strict thing in me. If God drops somebody on in me, I will just pray for them. Sometimes it's random people. I texted a guy I haven't talked to in 6 months the other day. For what I was driving in my car, and I thought of him, prayed for him, sent him a text, said, hey, thinking about you, praying for you today. Don't have to respond. Have a great day. And he immediately texted back and said, thank you very much. I don't know what he's going through. I don't have to know. It's none of my business. But if God drops him in my spirit, I'm going to pray for him. And that's what we do, is we continue to lift each other up and we continue to build on that. And that's where the presence comes in. We have to get beyond worshiping worship. Now, there are those times that we really just need a Holy Ghost hug. There are times that you're dealing with stuff, and I can think of times in my life that everything else aside, I just needed the Holy Spirit to wrap his arms around me, because I wasn't even sure how that next breath was going to happen. Because sometimes life hurts that bad. Sometimes life is horrible, and we have to deal with it, and things happen, and things aren't good, and we just need to wrap up. And you know what? Our God is there. He is there. Sometimes when nothing else is going on, and I've told lots of people this, If you can think of nothing else, play praise and worship music in your house. Put the presence of God in your house. If you find yourself arguing with your spouse a lot, play praise and worship music. If you find yourself with massive road rage, play praise and worship music in your car. Metallica is probably not the thing to listen to while you're suffering from road rage. Dealt with that last week. I'm like, I need to change stations here. This is not going good for me. But, you know, you have to invite that in. You have to show up and do something. It's not about just letting life happen to you, but it's about creating those, putting yourself in those positions for that. It's about putting yourself in the presence. You know, how often do we stand and watch other people be blessed and things pass by while we're just sitting there thinking, where's mine? You don't know what they had to go through to get that blessing. While we're sitting here judging and criticizing and wishing that we had that, what are we doing to get there? Are we spending the time at his feet? Are we spending the time praising and worshiping? Are we spending the time reading our Bible and seeking after his face, trying to understand answers? Are we doing what they're doing to get that blessing? And most of the time, not. We're not, and a lot of times we don't want to. Just putting it simple. We don't want to do the work. I mean, if you think about it, and it was true with my generation, the generation after, the generations that's coming up now, as we grow up, we see what our parents have, and we think we deserve that. And we want what our parents have, not realizing that our parents started out in a little one-bedroom that they could barely afford and then had to build up to it over their lives to get the big ranch-style house that they live in now. We just think that, oh, I'm 20, I got a job, I'm going to get the big house. It don't work that way. Life happens. And so, I mean, I'm not saying that God can't bless you. I'm not saying that we can't leave stuff. You know, God blessed us enough. We handle our finances in a way that we can leave stuff for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. That's awesome if we can do that. But at the same time, we shouldn't expect someone else to do all the work for our blessing. We shouldn't expect someone else to do the work for our answered prayers. That's our job. That's what we have to do. But we don't want to do that sometimes. We just want everything to happen. It says in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14. Says, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. Talking about back to Israel. For I know the thoughts. See, I always like to put it in context because everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11, but let's put it in context. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When did that future and hope come? After they had been through the struggle, after they had been through the storm. We just want to immediately walk into the blessings and the good things of God, not realizing that sometimes we have to go through the storm first. Sometimes we have to deal with some life in order to get there. It says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I've seen lots of Christians in captivity, whether it be to fear, unforgiveness, past hurts, past faults, self-doubt, self-worth. We all have things that we battle with in here and in here. We all do. I mean, that's just, we're human. We deal with stuff. And we want free from that. But when we realize sometimes we endure that stuff, shared this many times before, at the end of all of that, our testimony, the fact that we're strong enough to get through it. We sang the songs this morning, you know, we didn't just get in the water, but he was there for us. He didn't let us go under. He gets us to and through the storms. He doesn't let us sink in the middle, but he's there for us. Why? Sometimes he knows that we're strong enough to endure that the next person in line behind us, they need someone that's going to reach out a hand and grab them and pull them up. That's going to look down the ladder and say, you know what, you can make it. That's going to give them encouragement. Because sometimes, and what I've learned, everyone out there doesn't have a team. Everyone out in the world doesn't have someone that's encouraging them to be them to be their best self. They don't have someone, they don't go to a church that's feeding them with people that are encouraging them to do and be the best that they can, letting them know that God loves them, letting them know that there's somebody cares about them. And if they need anything, you just call me and we'll get some people together and we'll show up. We'll do what we need to do. They don't have that. So you can be that for people out in the world. You can be that light in a dark place that people need, that they need to hear. And in verse 14, it says, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away. Sometimes we have this desire that we want to be somewhere. It's that Abraham syndrome. We have this desire, okay, God's told me and he showed me this promise, so this is where I see where I need to be. So we're fighting everything we can to get there, and God's saying, not yet. We're saying, but God, you showed me this is where I need to be, so this is where I'm going. And God just says, not yet. You're like, but if I do this and this and this, I can make it happen. We can be there by next week. God's saying, not yet. And you're like, but God, I know I can make this happen. If you would just do... Anybody, if you would just do this, God. I'm guilty. I've done that before. I know. We all have those moments of weakness. And God's saying, not yet. Because think about it. If you were to take a kid, little kid, what do you want for dinner? Candy? Ice cream? Say, okay, here's ice cream for dinner. Tomorrow, what do you want for dinner? Ice cream? Okay, so is that healthy for them? No. I mean, is it good for a day every now and then? I mean, hey, yes, it's not the healthiest thing, but honestly, would it really hurt once a year to let your kid have ice cream for dinner? I'm helping out the kids here. I mean, face it, sometime as adults, guilty as charged, I get in late, I'm tired, I eat a bowl of cereal for dinner. It happens. It's not the healthiest choice, but that's what we do. But God sometimes is telling us not yet, because he knows so much more than we do. He knows, and he's already got a plan put in place to make things happen when they're supposed to happen. And us trying to help him out like Abraham and Sarah did just creates Ishmaels in our life that we're going to have to deal with for the rest of our life, and other generations could possibly have to deal with those as well. Because we tried to help God. Sorry, God doesn't need our help. He's God. Sometimes he allows us to, and if he speaks to people, he asks people to move in certain ways and to do things to help others. Several years ago, and I can remember it just as clear as the day it would happen, as the day it happened. Those of you who are familiar with the way we do bread now, the way we used to do bread years ago is there wasn't a Farmington Panera's. We used to go pick it up from Festus every Saturday night. Somebody from the church would go up and pick it up and bring it back, and then some of us would gather here for prayer, and we would pray until those people got back, and then we would all as a team go back and bag up bread. Sometimes there was lots of people here, sometimes there wasn't. And I would usually take that extra time, me being me, and go through and try to straighten all the chairs up to look all pretty for you guys on Sunday morning. Well, there was one Saturday night. It was late. I was late getting here. I think I was the one that did the bread, and everybody else had left. And I was like, since I'm running late, I just want to do a once-over of the chairs. So everyone else had left, and I remember I was walking across the back right behind the sound booth, and just as clear as I could hear, like someone was talking to me, I heard, "What are you doing?" And I stopped because I thought, I didn't know anybody else was here. I mean, it was that real that I stopped and walked back around and walked up front. And as I walked up front, I felt his presence. That's when I knew, oh, yes. And I heard it again. What are you doing? And at that time, my mind is going 90 to nothing, like, okay, God, what do you mean? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? And it never got beyond that other than, what are you doing? And it was an open-ended question. And it me and for me at that particular time in my life, it was a challenge. It was something that I'd been doing, that I had been on the fence trying to figure out which way I was going with a particular thing. And God was simply asking me, what am I doing? Am I doing what I was called to do? Am I going in the direction that he called me to go? Or was I going to continue to ride the fence and not make a decision and miss on the doors that he was going to open for me? So I had to make a decision. And that's the thing is with everything that we do, it usually comes down to us. We have to make the decision to do something, whether it's showing up. Sometimes just showing up is all we can do. That's all we can afford to do. That's all we have the mental fortitude to do is just show up. And that's okay. That's okay. That's what I love about this place. When you come into this place, there's just something about the people here. That was the thing that kept me here all those years ago because I wasn't church. I didn't know a lot. I had a couple friends that were coming here. I came with a friend, but it was something about the love of the people. And I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. At first, I didn't like it because it was new to me. But I got wore down pretty quick. And I realized that people love me. Not because of anything that I did, not because of anything that I said, not because I can do something for them, but they just love me. And that's what I love about this place. That's what I've always loved about Solid Rock, is you can come in, not be judged. It doesn't matter. We all have a past. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you've been through. We are all covered by the grace of God, period. Whether you come in, no matter what color your hair is, if you have hair, no matter how many holes you have, no matter how much ink you have, it does not matter. You are still loved by God. You will not be judged by your yesterday because that's not what we do. You're not judged by your yesterday. You are covered by the grace of God. What we do is we move on for tomorrow. It doesn't mean that yesterday didn't happen. We just come from a massive conference that talked about scars. I'm not going to review all that. All those are online if you want to listen to them. Some very good words. We deal with some of that stuff and we have to deal with the consequences of those scars in our life sometimes. But when we look forward, when we quit looking at the now and start looking forward at what God's calling us to do, calling us to, what are we doing? Are we moving towards that? Or have we gotten so comfortable that we're cruising where we're at now? And letting opportunities pass us by. Opportunities for ministry, opportunities to reach others, reach other people. Lots of times, lots of examples in the Bible where things did not go the way that people had planned. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is one of my favorite stories in the Bible because they were presented to the king, and he said, at this point, you... when the trumpet sounds, you will bow down and worship the statue of me. And they're like, nope, sorry. They're like, he's like, no, you don't understand. If you don't do this, I built this huge little furnace here. I mean, the thought of this, I built a furnace for people. That's pretty messed up. But, oh, well, I mean, so is, hey, everybody worship me. I mean, that's still messed up. But he's like, okay, so if you don't do this, I'm going to throw you in this furnace. And they're like, okay. He's like, what do you mean, okay? They're like, okay. Our God, completely able to deliver us from this situation. If he don't, still not going to do it. And that ticked him off. They had to go through the fire. God didn't remove the situation from them. And so often we're like, God, remove this situation. God, take this away from me. And sometimes God's saying, I got you. You're going to get through this. We're going to get to the other side. Be patient. Not yet. But we have to go through because as we go through, we get stronger. Anybody who's ever tried to work out, what happens the day after the first day you work out? I hear all the mumbles and grumbles. You're sore. Your muscles hurt because you've moved them and done things that you haven't done in a long time because you have some pain when you first start. You know, lower body day, stairs after that are not a good thing. But you endure the pain to build and be better. God's word is the same. We get stronger. We endure life, and it builds us stronger on the inside. It gives us insight. As we study his word, as we read the scriptures, it gives us insight to the past and examples of what other people have gone through so that we can say, you know what? They went through similar situations. God can do this in my life too. I just got to hold on. I just got to hold on. We're getting there. We're going to get there. I just got to hold on. Not yet. It says in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 30. Acts 16, 25 through 30. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They weren't worried about who could hear them. They were just singing. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. We all know if that happened today, exactly what would happen. They gone. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because if he didn't, as soon as the king found out what was going on, that's what the result was going to be, and it probably wasn't going to be as pleasant. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and he ran in, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he unchained them, brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Sometimes it's not about what you do. Sometimes it's about what you don't do when given the opportunity. Sometimes it's about how you can have self-control and still be a witness. One of the greatest compliments I was ever given in my entire life was from a guy that I had wrestled with for years in our senior year. You know, high school boys will be high school boys. Our senior year, he told me at project graduation, he said, "Hey, I just want to let you know, your testimony was greater to me for all the things that you never did than it ever could have been for anything that you did." It's like, wow, that hit me. Because I was invited to go to the parties. I was invited to do all the stuff. I even went to a couple of them. But I am who I am. I said no. Things were offered, like, no. And, you know, they will always come up with an excuse, but when you just say no, don't give them an excuse. It's just no. Well, what about no? Nope. They quit offering, but I still showed up. Still their friend. Even when they were going through and doing stupid stuff, I was still their friend. I was still that light in a dark place, because I knew that's where God had put me, there. I didn't know why, but I was still just going to be who I was, and I wasn't going to back down on who I knew I was through him. And God made a difference in that situation. See, I love this when you're reading it. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were singing and praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, they were beat and put in prison. Singing and praising is not really the thing I would think of that you would be doing after that happened. I mean, just being normal here, I'm thinking more along the griping and complaining and being angry and being upset and that sort of thing is where I'm thinking that my mind might be at. But they knew who they were in God. And when you realize who you are in God, and the example that you have, and the example that you can be to others, it changes others. Others are watching. Others are observing. Others see how you react to situations. Others see how you respond when those jokes are going around the office. Others see how you respond when someone says something inappropriate. They're watching you to see how you're going to react, and then they're gauging off of that. And when you stand your ground, I'm telling you, when you stand your ground and let them know, and don't back down from your principles, don't back down from who you are, it matters. So when they need something, when they need prayer, when their world is falling upside down, they know who they can go to, because they know that you're serious and that you're not going to back down. They were praising not because of where they were, their circumstance, but they were praising because of who he is, period. When I come in on a Sunday morning, yes, I get a little excited, because sometimes my week, I just want to praise him for who he is, good or bad, Doesn't matter how my week was. If I had a good week, sometimes we have good weeks. Sometimes those happen. But when you come in, you say, you know what, God, I just want to praise you. Not for anything that you're going to give me, not for anything that I need. I just want to spend time in your presence praising your name. And that's what we're called to do, is that fellowship, that relationship with God. I don't praise because of the storm. I praise in spite of the storm. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes, oftentimes, to get where we want to go, we have to refocus. And I want to share with you just a couple steps this morning on how do we get back. Maybe you've gotten to the point your focus has just gotten completely off. I have a telescope. I love to look at the stars and look at the moon. But what I've found in the few years that I've been using my simple little telescope is that things move very fast when you're trying to focus on a little bitty spot in the sky. So you'll find something, look away, look back, and it's like, where'd it go? And you got to adjust the telescope. And it's just little tiny adjustments to keep focused. As you're going through life, you're going to have to make little tiny adjustments to stay focused. You can't continue to do things the way that they've always been done and expect everything to always. Our world out there is constantly changing. Things are constantly evolving. Technology is constantly doing whatever it does. We have to learn to change and grow. I mean, some people, you know, I loved going to my grandma and grandpa's house, just sitting on the front porch. And that's all we did. We just sat there on the front porch. And nowadays, I'm like, how did we have time to do that? It was a simpler life. But granted, simpler life, but I love flushing toilets. I love hot water. Modern technology is cool. Light switches are good things. But sometimes we have to realize, to move forward, sometimes we have to change something. So step number one, if you want to figure out how to get back, is you have to take an evaluation. Where are you? Sometimes we have to do that self-evaluation. Where am I? What was that old blue? Who am I and what am I doing here? For those of you who remember the old Ross Perot vice presidential candidate, he'd come up for a debate and the first thing he says is, who am I and what am I doing here? And I'm like, I don't know who you are and I really don't know what you're doing here. But sometimes we have to take an evaluation. Where am I? You're never going to get anywhere unless you start moving. And to start moving, sometimes you have to figure out, where am I at and where do I want to go? I'm sorry, it really is about that simple. Where am I at? Take an evaluation. What do I want? Do I want to get closer to God? Do I want more blessings from God? Then read His Word. You know, there, any Bible, any app that you grab anymore, you can say, hey, what scripture's on this? And they'll tell you. It's easy to find. So whatever you're looking for, whatever you're trying to find, you have to do it. But first, you have to start by figuring out where you're at. If you don't know where you're at, you don't know where to go. Figure out what your strengths are. Figure out what your weaknesses are. Figure out what you need to work on. If you have something in your life that's tempting you, that's pulling you away, maybe you need to start cutting some ties in that and focusing on something different. Did I say it's going to be easy? No, it's probably not going to be easy because as humans, we get comfortable where we're at. Or as one song I used to listen to said, we get comfortably numb because that's what we do. We get comfortable where we're at, then we get numb to all the things that are going on around us because we're happy, we're content. I don't care about anything else. My life's good. And that is where we don't need to be, is when we stop caring about everybody else. Because that is completely opposite of what Jesus told us to do. Step number two, look to tomorrow. You have to take aim at where you want to end up. If you're not aiming, where's it going to land? You don't know. Sometimes we just have to draw a line in the sand. Sometimes we just have to say, okay, this is it. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of falling into this trap. I'm drawing a line, and we step over it and say, okay, I'm not going back. Does it mean that we're not going to trip? Does it mean we're not going to make mistakes? No, we're human. But we don't dwell in the mistakes of the past. If you slip up, okay, you slipped up, you turn around and you keep heading this way. If you trip and start going this way, you turn around and go back that way. It's not about how perfect you can be on your walk with God. It's about how many times you can turn around and keep heading towards Him. What'd Pastor say? It's not about how many times you get knocked down, but how many times you get back up. We're all going to get knocked down. We're all going to face trials and circumstances and things that are going to pull us out of focus. You know, as we're aiming for a target, as I'm trying to see the moon, as I put a higher lens in so I can focus smaller on the moon, that makes it harder to monitor and harder to keep it squared on my vision scope. Because when you start fine-tuning, it gets harder to stay in focus. So when we start focusing and say, God, I want this. How do I get this? Show me. Open my... One of the best things you can do is, God, open my eyes to see what you have right in front of me. But I will tell you right now, something I tell Max all the time, don't ask a question unless you're prepared for the answer. We've told Max lots of times, never going to lie to you, but I may ask you, do you really want to know the answer? And if you ask me a question, I say that, you need to think long and hard if you really want to know. And there's been several times I'll tell him, you don't really want to know. This is a conversation for another day. And he's learned to listen. He's learned to pay attention. We have to make small adjustments. Number three, make small adjustments to get there. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. Too many times we think, well, I just need to make this little thing and everything's going to be. No, it's a small adjustment here, a small adjustment there. Little small adjustments that help get us where we need to go. Because a lot of times, Dwayne did a message years ago, awesome message. It was what, just a couple degrees off. Because just a little degree off from here to there is nothing. But from here to the back of the church, that same degree off, it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger the further away it gets. So it's just fine-tuning, small adjustments. And as we go through life, that's what we do. We make small adjustments. You can't expect to, you know, go from not having a business to running a multi-billion dollar business in a week. It don't happen. It don't happen. It takes a lot of small steps. It takes a lot of hurt and a lot of grinding and a lot of work. But you continue to take the steps. You continue to do what you need to do. And it's a small step, then another small step. Continuing to listen to what God says, continuing to study and hear the voice of God, because He will guide you where you need to go if we listen. Then as the praise and worship team comes back up, number four, don't leave God out. Sorry, I added that one after I sent you the notes. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our plan, and it may have started off as a godly plan. It may have started off as, okay, we've spent the time praying, and this is what I feel I need to do, and we're moving, and then we get so caught up in the moving and doing what we need to do that we forget about God. You can't forget about God when you're moving through the thing. It is so easy. As I'm going through, I've been doing the last couple of years to do the Bible, you know, read the Bible in a year. So I'm going through it, and just like everyone else, you read through the Israelites, and you think, man, how these people are so dumb. Sorry, just being me. But it's like, God, I mean, to see the things that God did. I mean, have you ever stopped and thought about walking through dry ground through the Red Sea? I'm like, wow. And it wasn't 2 months later. Should have died in Egypt. Where is this God? Maybe we, Aaron, you need to make us another God. Make us something that we can, make us an idol that we can. I'm like, what the? No. How dense are you people? And then again, like story after story after story. And it's like, that's not far off from me. How many times has God shown me something, given me a direction to go, and I start to do it, but as soon as things start going good, I forget about God, and I forget about that, and I just get caught up in the blessings, because that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to get caught up in the blessings, caught up in the presence, T-S, that we forget about his presence. See us. And as long as we stay in his presence, as long as we're seeking his face, as long as we're continuing to praise him for who he is, the others come, the presents come, because the Bible tells us all the time, even though, you know, how much more will our, even as the earthly father will give gifts to their earthly children, how much more will our heavenly father give gifts to us? He knows what we need before we even ask. And he loves to bless us, just like we love to bless our kids, just like we love to bless our friends. We love to give gifts. You know, there really is something to that whole, it's better to give than to receive. It is so awesome to be able to give people stuff, especially if it's something you know they need or you know they want, to be able to bless them with that. It's awesome. It's a good feeling. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be able to walk in that. But first, before we do that, we have to get caught in his presence. See us. We're going to end with a little praise and worship. And what I want to encourage you this morning, out of all of this, let's start getting lost in his presence. Because there's something about when you allow yourself and when you let go of control. I mean, if you think about it, isn't that what it all really is? It's control. I mean, if we go back to the original sin, we go back to the fall of Lucifer, it's all about control, wanting something that we were not designed to have. We had to have the tree in the Garden of Eden, because if there was no choice, then there was no free will. How can you have free will if you don't have a choice to break that free will? It doesn't exist. Sorry, deep thought too early in the morning. But at the same time, it's all that illusion of control. But when we realize that we don't have to be in control, and when we can say, you know what, God, today I'm turning everything, all of me, all that I know of me, my faults, my failures, I'm turning me over and I'm giving me to you. I'm placing me at your feet. I'm surrendering everything that I know of myself. And when we come in and say, God, change me, help me realize, open my mind up to see where you want me to be, what you want me to do. Show me, help me take aim where I'm going and where I need to go. Help me to make those small changes in my life to get closer to you, to get closer to your calling, to your purpose. And when we point it back to him, when we give him back the control, things aren't going to be perfect. But there's something about even in the midst of the storm, we can still smile. Jesus didn't get upset when they woke him up and there was a storm going. He didn't get upset at the storm. He got upset at them for their lack of faith, but he didn't get mad at the storm. He just walked out and said, peace, be still. And the storm listened. So I'm encouraging you with your peace be still this morning. Stop trying to change things that you weren't designed to change. Stop fixing things that you weren't designed to fix. Stop trying to make things happen that you weren't designed to make things happen. Give him control. Rest in his presence. Rest in the presence of God. Let's praise him just a little bit this morning.